Welcome to Global Outreach Community Church, where we proclaim and demonstrate the love of God through Christ. Now, from the Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas, here is Pastor Anderson with today's message.
Paul's authority as an apostle, and they are even questioning if he's called by the will of God. So in that first letter to this church, that's in 1 Corinthians, Paul sets the stage. He lets the church know that they should not be divided, but that love is the greatest gift. So I want to say to this church and to our guest, people don't care how well you speak. They don't care how well you preach. They care how much and how well you love. And that's why Paul in that 13th chapter says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I don't have love, it profits me nothing. So I want to encourage you to love people. Love them when they're at their lowest. Love them when they are in distress. God says love. So he moves from that to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it may leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Closing out today, one simple thought. Lord, thank you for my thorn. Yes. My thorn. We don't like thorns. And when Paul mentions this word thorn, it's not the thorn on the end of a rose bush, but it is a stake. Something sharp, pointed. Figuratively, this thorn would be used in a time of war. They would cut off the head of their enemy, take the enemy's head and put it on a stake, a thorn. That's the word picture in the text. And all of us, at some point and stage of life, we have to deal with this thorn. And if we're honest with ourselves, the thorn doesn't feel good. We really want God to remove this thorn. And even when we pray, there are times God says, no, I'm not removing it. My grace is sufficient. So Pastor Tim Keller says, pastors have to be better at developing and communicating the ministry and the theology of suffering. Because too many members, too many people in the body of Christ, especially the Western church, are caught flat-footed when suffering, difficulties, afflictions hit their lives. Suffering and affliction and difficulties is just like a piece of good furniture in your home. Tim Keller says it's the best book on your bookshelf. And Tuesday, as I was in South Texas, I was asked to do the devotional for our Texas leadership that the VP of our company asked me, could you just share? God put you on my heart, and I believe it's something that he wants to say to us through you as leaders. I said, I know exactly what God wants me to share. So on Tuesday, we fly into McAllen, Texas. We make that hour drive to South Padre, and I ate way more than I should. And we're sitting there, And I said, God wants us to know, be thankful for the thorn. Yeah. And it got quiet. And I proceeded to walk through chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. And I said, God is placing thorns in your life so that you can depend on him. And I went through the devotional. I made my way to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I talked about how Paul was shipwrecked and he was beaten and he was stoned and he was led over a wall in the basket. And I said, there are times in our lives that we will go through persecution and insult and suffering and afflictions and difficulties for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was quiet. And then I went to chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. I said, let's look at this sufficient grace. I know most of you as leaders, you're dealing with thorns in your family. You have a personal thorn. You have a thorn in leadership. But what is God saying? So we walked through that and I said, grace is sufficient, that there is an unlimited supply of God's grace when you go through the difficult times of life. And it was just quiet. So I said, now that we have talked about the thorns and now that we have talked about issues in our lives, I want to just pause to have a roundtable discussion. I said, there are 8 men in here, and this is the time to be open, transparent, vulnerable like Paul. Because when Paul is writing this book, he's open, he's bleeding, he's emotional, he's transparent. There is nothing that he is hiding. He puts all the cards on the table and he is showing his hand. And I said, men, put all the cards on the table today. Show your hand. And I can't tell you everything that was discussed, but ministry leaders talking about, pray for my marriage, this is why. Pray for my children, this is why. I'm called to this ministry, but I'm single and I'm struggling with, am I called to this? Pray for this. And before you know it, 30 minutes turned into 2 hours of prayer, of talking, of being vulnerable, of sharing the inmost part of our lives to men. And we made a commitment. Whatever's discussed in here stays in here, because leaders need to get in the mirror and be honest with themselves about their flaws, about what they struggle with, about their weaknesses, about what's going on in their families. And for 2 hours, grown men praying, crying, seeking the Lord, praying for one another. We have to get good as a church to be vulnerable enough to let real ministry happen when we share what's going on in our lives. And we pray for one another. And I got to the point, Coach, where I said, hey, we got to get some work done. And my VP said, no, let's keep going. And ministry happened. This is all Paul is telling us, is that real ministry happens when you are vulnerable enough to share the thorn in your life with someone that you can trust, that they can minister to you and pray for you. God may not remove that thorn, but God will tell you, I have an unlimited supply of grace, and this grace is sufficient enough to give you enough power to walk through the hard times of life, the difficulties of life, when I choose not to move the thorn, because the thorn is there to keep you humble, lest you exalt yourself. Can we just be honest this morning? Sometimes we just get bigger than what we should. And God has to remind us, if it had not been for me on your side, you wouldn't be where you are right now. So I will inject this thorn to keep you humble, lest you exalt yourself and become prideful. God, thank you for my thorn. God, thank you that even when I ask that you remove that thorn, you remind me that you're going to stick it there to help me stay dependent on you. And this is what Paul is writing this morning, that he has prayed 3 times and he's asked God to remove it. And God says, no, my grace is sufficient. So last week, we looked at 3 things. This thorn is permitted by God. He permitted Satan to put the thorn there. God uses the thorn to sanctify you. But Satan wants to use the thorn to destroy you. And that's why the thorn is tormenting Paul. In the Greek, that word torment means to beat with
fist. This thorn is just beating him and beating him, and Paul is praying. Have you been there that life is so hard and you feel like you are beaten down, that you are crushed, that you have a weight on you that you cannot carry? God says, I'm not going to remove the weight, but I'm going to give you some power to help you carry the weight so you won't give in. That power is called sufficient grace. So this thorn is a torment, Paul. God says, no, I'm going to keep it there. I'm going to keep you humble. I'm going to give you grace. So last week, we learned that God believes humility is more important than comfort. Humility. God is not concerned about your comfort. He's concerned about your holiness. We got it backwards in today's church. That God wants to bless us with all this stuff. God is more concerned with your holiness and you being humble than you being comfort. And when you travel long enough and you see the world, you see people that are suffering, but they still praise God. They are without, but they still praise God. So this week, I flew back in, Ms. Rios. Thursday night, it was storming, and that plane was rough. And I'm just praying, God, just help the pilot get underneath the clouds while we're flying through. He's not an eagle. This plane can't fly through these clouds. We get down low enough, we land. And I said, you know what, I better go home. And as I was getting ready to go home, it was almost like the Lord said, go see mama. Go to the hospital. And Mr. Cool is there. And Mr. Cool is always there because his wife now is three doors down from my mom's room. They used to be next door neighbors, but now they spaced out. And every time I walk in there, Mr. Cool, that's his nickname, he'll say, be cool now. Aaron's laughing at, hey, you be cool now. Watch out there, watch out. And I'm thinking to myself, am I watching a rerun of Martin's show? You be cool, watch out now. And every time I leave, he'll say, I checked on mama. Watch out now. You be cool. And I asked him, I said, man, how long has your wife been here? A few months. What's going on? Oh, pastor, you come in the room all the time. She has that mask over her mouth. She can't breathe. She needs a bunch of surgeries. He said, but you know what? I'm good. You be cool now. Watch out now. And he leaves. He is showing me that he has a spirit of humility, that he understands he has to depend on God. And God may have in him in this position that his head won't swell up. Not that God sends sickness, but there are times in our life where God will permit certain things to happen to keep us humble, lest we get prideful and we get beyond ourselves. So that's the first thing we talked about. The second thing that we talked about is that God's power is more evident and on display in our human weaknesses. That God wants to make us a showcase of his power, but he can't make you a showcase of his power unless he allows you to go through affliction and to go through suffering and to hit rock bottom and to experience hard time and to see mama go ahead and go to heaven. He has to allow you to experience hard times to show you that I got power for you and I'm just putting you on display. The tougher the problem, the greater his power. So every time I leave mama and I'm upset and I may be down, God, this problem is tough, but you're giving me more power. And power is called grace, and you will never run out of grace. So I want to encourage somebody, at least I continue, is that tougher the problem, start praying for more grace. And all this week I've just been saying, God, give me more grace. No grace won't run out, so give me more grace. Give me more grace than I can handle. I want to be a vessel of grace demonstrating your power. So he allows you to go through suffering. Here's the third thing we talked about last week, that Paul's thorn kept him in close dependency on God. Can you be honest with yourself this morning? When life is good and there's money in the bank and there's no problems on the job, do you really pray like you should? When the children are in order and life is just easy and your gas tank is full and you can go to Papa Do's and Papa Cedar's and Texas Steakhouse and Roadhouse and you just big ball and shot calling and everything is good, you don't pray as you should. But soon as God let that tank get under half a little bit, soon as your money get funny and life hits your doorstep, you're praying, God, now help me, help me. God has to allow tough times to come so that we can stay dependent on Him. And when you're dependent on Him, you learn just to slow down long enough to get into the Word and to pray. You learn how to thank God for the good, the bad, and the ugly. You just learn how to pray. But here's the last two things we want to discuss this morning, is that Paul was well content with his suffering. There it is in the text. Verse 10, therefore, I am well content with my weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecution, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. Paul says, I'm content. So the hymnist, Fanny Crosby, said that when she was born blind, because of a mistake of the doctor, she didn't get upset as she got older. She didn't see her blindness as a liability. The longer she lived, the more productive she became in life. And she is the one that provided the church with countless hymns, a grateful joy, testimony to Christ. And this is what she said: because I was blind, it meant the first thing I would see is the face of Jesus. When you go through things, the first thing you see is the face of Jesus. That you go to the throne room of God and say, God, I really don't know how you look, but in my imagination, I see your face. And if you can just shine down on me, if you can smile on me, God, I can handle whatever I go through. I'm trying to encourage somebody this morning. It may be rough. He may not remove that thorn, but you need to start seeing the face of Jesus. Thank God for his face. Thank God for his face. So when you understand that God has the best for you and he won't remove that thorn, you can start getting up and saying, God, thank you. I don't understand it, but thank you. I don't see the reason why, but thank you. I feel like I want to give up, but thank you, because that thorn makes you more sensitive to the movements of God. And when we become more sensitive to God's movements, God can get more done in us if we just get out the way. God is telling somebody this morning, get out the way, get out the way. You in my way, you blocking me. I'm telling you to get out the way. Erica is a great example. Don't mean to call you out. We were talking about something, and she said, listen, I was complaining about this issue, but now that I've gotten out the way, God is starting to work. And I said, Erica, every now and then, if you just move your little bottom out the way and let God work, he'll work. But you better be careful what you're asking for. And exactly what she's asking him for, he's starting to do. You got to be careful how you pray, because there are times God will say no, but then there are times God's going to say yes, and what you ask me for, I will give it, but I'm not going to give it like you asked for it. We depend on God. We become more sensitive to God. Here's the fourth thing. So Paul was well content with his suffering. Here's the word well content. In the Greek, and I'm almost done, it's well pleased. I want y'all to hear that. Paul was going through hard times, but he was well pleased. It means to delight in. This is the same word that Jesus used in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. When he's been baptized and he comes up out the water, and the Father looks down and said, this is my Son who I am well pleased. In other words, when you're going through suffering, can you just be content? Are you complaining? Are you mad with God? Are you ready to leave the church? I know so many people, they upset with God because God has allowed suffering to come into your life. If Jesus suffered, you're no better than Jesus. And God says, listen, although affliction is hidden, can you just be content and just ride this storm out? So that's what we did, Lauren, on that flight. He rode the storm out. And then I asked the pilot on the way out, why did you do that? He said, sometimes you just need to get in the tailwind and just ride it out. God is telling some of you, just get in the tailwind and ride it out. I'm not going to take the affliction, just ride it The lightning is striking. The thunder is rolling. It's bad. It's turbulence. But just ride it out. And when you ride it out, you can learn how to be content. You can think good. You don't have to be agitated. You don't have to say those words that sometimes we say when people make us mad, because you're just content. But here's the last thing. God knows how to balance burdens and blessings, suffering for his glory. Sometimes the scale seems like it's this way. Yeah. Suffering. Yeah. The heaviness. And God is saying, no, it's balancing. Yeah. And then the blessings seem like they're just overflowing. And God gives you a little suffering. And he balances. Yeah. And then the suffering seems like it's heavy. And he put the blessings back there. He just balances out. So as we were fishing, Wednesday morning, our tour guide named Butch took us out on the water. And I didn't realize you can fish even when you see storms coming. We're fishing. And Butch says, I just feel like telling you my testimony. He said, at the age of 17, I got married. I graduated early. I went to Baylor University. And I asked my wife to marry me at least 12 times. And she kept saying no. And he said, God, I'm going to ask her one more time. If she says no, I'm out. I'm done. Holla. So he circled a date on his calendar, and he left it out on his kitchen counter. His soon-to-be wife walked in and saw that date. So Butch had it all set up. I'm going to take her out to a nice dinner. Sweetheart, you want to go to dinner? She said, no. Would you like to walk? She says, no. Can we just talk? She said, no. And Butch said, man, it's messed up. She's not going to marry me. So he stepped out on faith, got on one knee, and said, sweetheart, would you marry me? Her simple response was this: I would love to be the mother of your kids. They got married. And unfortunately, she could not get pregnant. They tried and they tried, but she couldn't get pregnant. So Butch started working for his grandfather. 2 years into the business, he took over his grandfather's real estate business, and he built a construction company. And he has one of the most successful businesses in McAllen and in South Padre. The first year of business, he made $2,700. Woo, Eric, we struck it rich. $2,700. He said, but 2 years later, they made $27,000. He told his wife, you can quit your job now. We need to focus on having children. The business grew, but she couldn't get pregnant. Can you? Watch this. I'm talking about balancing. The business was growing, but she couldn't get pregnant. So they went to the doctor to do in vitro. The doctor says, I got good news and bad news. We're going to do this procedure. You can have 6 kids. You may have 4. You may have 1. You may have 0. At the same time, their church was doing a building campaign. And the Lord had put a certain amount for him to give from his business. And the amount was so massive, he didn't tell his wife. But when he went home, he talked to his wife. He said, the Lord put an amount on my heart. She says, me too. And the same amount that the Lord gave her, he gave him. It was the amount that it was going to take to do the in vitro. And he said, man, we didn't have that just sitting in our account. But we stepped out on faith. Blessings. The business kept growing. Doctor met with them. Sorry, it didn't work. She's not pregnant. Suffering. She cried from Lubbock
to South Padre, 8 to 10 hours in the car. But the business was growing. But she was suffering. And finally, the business got so big that he just stepped back because of God's blessings. Now watch this. This is how God works. Somebody bought out one of his companies. He told his wife, I feel like you need to go to Kenya with your women's group to go work at that orphanage. His wife goes to Kenya to work in a village to help orphans. First time to Kenya, she fell in love with these little babies and with these little kids. And she said, man, I love it. I can adopt one of these. She went back home. She never said anything to Butch, because she knew Butch wanted his own child. The business is growing, but it's suffering. And finally, God put a scripture in Romans chapter 11 in Butch's heart. And for 6 months, God would wake Butch up at 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. to press this scripture in his heart. And after 6 months, Butch went to his wife and he said, sweetheart, I think the Lord wants us to build a school in Kenya. She said, Lord told me that the day I was in Kenya. I need him to speak to you. They built a school. You know how many kids are in that school right now? 250 kids. And Butch say every day they get up, they have not one, but 250 kids that God is blessing because they stepped out in faith. And when they thought God wasn't balancing, the blessings and the suffering was balancing. I'm trying to tell you this morning, God would do extraordinary things in an extraordinary way. He would take the impossible person, crush them to show you, although he's giving you a thorn, he's giving you a blessing to equal out the thorn in his life. Some of you are struggling this morning. Some of you are praying for children. Trust God. God knows how to work it. So this morning, here's how I want to close. My wife and I was in the same situation. She had Kiki, but she wanted to give me Aaron. And we had talked about having 3, 4, 5, 8 kids. But she settled on 3. So when the bosses speak, you listen. It took her a while to get pregnant with Aaron. Went through all these procedures. She got pregnant. 3 years later, she wanted to give me a son. It's on her Facebook page. She couldn't. Took medication. Her hair started falling out. They wanted to do all these procedures. And here's where I want to close. I said, baby, I'm content. I got not only one, but I got a bonus. God gives you bonuses. You have to see how the bonuses look. Thank God for Aaron, but thank God for my bonus child. Thank God for my bonus blessings. He gives you those thorns to give you bonuses. But you have to learn how to be well content. And when you're well content, God will show you, my grace is sufficient. Can we pray this morning? God, thank you for your grace.
Thank you for listening. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at The Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas. Visit us online at www.globaloutreachcc.org. Remember, your life matters because it matters to Christ.